This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Joy Drive on Joy 94.9 FM in Melbourne, Joy on your digital radio, iHeartRadio, TuneIn.com, or the Joy app. No matter where you are, you can always take Em and Warren with you.
It is 14 minutes to 5 for your Thursday drive home.
One of the highlights at this time of year that I really, really love is every day I go into the city and I have to walk through the QV building and they have the most amazing Christmas tree in the forecourt. And if you can see it at night, it is absolutely beautiful and I would encourage you to go and have a look at it. I just love staring at it.
Okay.
For ages. I love Christmas trees.
You just like halfway through a walk, just pausing.
I just stop and stare at it. Like, what's this creep doing? Well, a Christmas tree decorated with ornaments and lights is the centerpiece of the festive season. But have you ever wondered where the Christmas tree comes from? Well, to find out, we're joined by James Lancaster, who's a lecturer in studies in Western religious traditions at the University of Queensland. James, welcome to Joy Drive.
Hi, thanks very much for having me on.
James, firstly, does the Christmas tree as we know it have any relation to the religious story in the Bible?
No, it doesn't. And in fact, the Christmas tree is not biblical, nor is it ancient. There are many different trees mentioned in the Bible, the most famous being the tree of good and evil, from which Adam and Eve pluck the fruit, and also the tree of life, which is supposed to give immortality. But there is no Christmas tree. And in fact, there's no Christmas tree until the 19th century, so only very recently.
Okay, so the Christmas tree first appears in the 19th century. When and where did it appear? Where did it spring from?
Yeah, well, there appears to have been some early modern. So in the 16th century, there was a kind of judgment tradition that took place in Strasbourg amongst German citizens. And they would essentially set up a small tree inside their home for their children. And then they would place lollies or bonbons under the tree if the children had been good. But if the children came into the room and discovered there were no lollies under the tree, that would be a sign of the future damnation to come for these children.
Whoa. So
that's right. So the children would see, there's nothing under the tree. This is a bad sign. I must have been a bad child this year.
Do we know what sort of judgments we were talking about back then? Like, was it just, you know, simple bad behavior? Because it sounds quite horrific and scary.
Yeah, well, it would have been, I suppose, you know, just general kind of naughtiness for children, really. It's the kind of things that today we would overlook. But in the 16th century, in particular amongst German Protestants, there would have been a fear that bad behavior was a sign that you had actually been predetermined to be damned to the inferno.
Wow.
So they would have been really worried about naughty behavior, much more so than we are today.
James, so this first sort of appearance of the tree with the bonbons and the lollies underneath it, were these trees being erected at Christmas time, like at the end of the year, or was this like an all year round thing?
Yeah, so it seems to have happened around the Christmas season.
Okay.
It's not clear if it was just for Christmas Day, but it seems as though around the end of December, which would basically be the kind of European harvest festival time, that this was the time when trees were brought inside. But it was a very localized tradition. So really, it was only, you know, kind of German families in one small region of Europe at this time.
We're chatting with James Lancaster, lecturer in studies in Western religious traditions from the University of Queensland, about the history of the Christmas tree. James, how did the tradition of the Christmas tree make its way from Strasbourg in Germany to the rest of the world?
Yeah, it's interesting. It first got notice in Germany after the romantic poet Goethe published an account of the Strasbourg trees in a novel he wrote called The Sorrows of Young Werther. And people began to think that this was a nice sounding tradition at this time, though Goethe didn't, I think, mention it as a judgment tradition, rather as a just a kind of nice holiday festivity. Mm-hmm. And from Gotha, more German families began to adopt the Christmas tree, and eventually these families emigrated, some to Britain and others to America, in particular to the New York and New England region.
So when this gets transported from Germany to slowly the rest of the world, why did it become a Christmas tree? Like, why do we know it as a Christmas tree?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. Well, in England, it was really thanks to Queen Victoria and her German husband, Albert, who both of them popularized the Christmas tree at Christmas time in particular and on Christmas Day. So Albert is said to have set up the first Christmas tree in Windsor Castle in 1840, the Christmas of 1840. And then over the years, eventually, this was picked up and printed in the London News so that people could see an image of Victoria and Albert and their children standing around a tree that was lit by candles, celebrating the holiday. And so that kind of image really stuck with a lot of British households, really.
James, so where did the tradition of leaving gifts under the tree come from? Is that related to the bonbons that were originally used to judge the kids whether they were, you know, well behaved or not, or is it do the presents come in totally separate?
So the presents, in some ways, you could say they are an elaboration upon the bonbons. But the truth of the matter is that they were really a kind of savvy way of selling books and toys to children. And in fact, the Christmas tree itself really gained its popularity because of its ties to consumerism. So what happened is that German immigrants to America began to set up Christmas trees, but then in the 1820s, 30s, and 40s, book publishers started to write children's stories in which families would set up a tree and children would receive gifts, and in fact, gifts of their very books, the publisher's own books, underneath the trees. And so parents would read these stories to their children, and the children would then demand to have a tree with gift-wrapped books and toys underneath it. So it's funny, it wasn't really the immigrants at all. So people didn't learn about this from German immigrants. Rather, Americans learned about it through reading books in which they marketed the tree basically as the place where books would be placed on Christmas Day and other gifts.
Wow. So essentially, like, all of the Christmas carols that are about Christmas trees are really about consumerism.
Well, many of them are.
and they're quite new then, that means, as well, the Christmas carols about Christmas trees.
Yeah, many of them are. So certainly in English. I mean, there are some older German carols, but most of in other languages, English, Italian, other European languages, most of these carols would be quite new. But in a way, this was also part of setting up the tree to be successful for, you know, toy manufacturers and book publishers. So, you know, one of the things that they did is to present the tree in these children's stories and in songs as essentially being a kind of ancient Christian tradition, a tradition that went back to the biblical magi. You know, they present the frankincense and myrrh to the infant Christ. But of course, the Christmas tree, as you know, marketed to Americans, had nothing to do with that. But they led parents to believe effectively that by giving these gifts to their children, that they were partaking in some sort of ancient Christian ritual.
Wow.
I knew consumerism was going to creep in there some way. James, one question. Yeah. Some people say that, you know, the Christmas tree is related to pagan gods and festivals. Is there any link there at all? Or how does that myth come about?
So I mean, many people have sought for links between Christmas trees and kind of ancient Germanic, even ancient Egyptian and Roman practices. But the truth of the matter is that the Christmas tree kind of as we know it, that's brought into the house during the Christmas season, that is decorated, that presents are left under, that's really an invention of the mid-19th century. So it has no ancient roots. Now, of course, all religions have used trees in their rituals in some way or the other. It you know, in Hinduism, in Islam, in Judaism, it doesn't matter what religion, you're going to find that trees are involved in some way. But are they Christmas trees? No, they're not Christmas trees.
James, fascinating conversation. Now we all know where they come from. Thank you so much for joining us on Joy Drive. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you so much, and Merry Christmas and Happy New Year to you both.
Thank you. Same to you. That's James Lancaster, lecturer in Studies in Western Religious Traditions at the University of Queensland.
Joy Drive on Joy 94.9 FM in Melbourne, Joy on your digital radio, iHeartRadio, TuneIn.com or the Joy app. No matter where you are, you can always take Em and Warren with you.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.